Hey girl, and welcome to the L Potential Podcast. If you've got big dreams but don't know where to start, then this is your cue to keep listening. You've got this inner voice inside of you that is telling you that you are meant for so much more. And you're not wrong. There are 7.8 billion people in the world, and you are not meant to play small, to stay small, or to stay stuck in your current environment. My name is Brittany Tibbetts, and I am so passionate about growth and expansion. I mean, so passionate that I have teamed up with a group of powerhouse women, women of all different industries, who will share their steps, because there are no secrets, and what they did to break the barriers of their past environment so they could break the mold, tap into their potential, and reach that next level. And we all want you to do the same. We're cheering for you. As women, we know that we propel further faster when we support each other. So if you haven't done so already, please subscribe to this podcast, leave a review, and follow me on my Instagram at LPotential. Now let's pivot from our doubt and into our power by curating the lives of our dreams. You know you are meant for so much more, and your time is now. What? Like it's hard? Welcome back to another episode here on the L Potential Podcast. I am so excited to be back behind my mic, and not to mention it's a new mic I've been dying to use. I have had this for over a month. I have been in and out of having a cold and coughing. Like, I had this persistent cough that I could not get rid of. I am almost on the tail end here, and I'm just too eager. So today I set up my new mic, my new arm stand, and I am ready to open up the first episode of this brand new season. I hope that you all have had an amazing new year so far. We are already through January. Time just flies. So this is a friendly reminder, and it's always a reality check for me, that you can't stay stagnant because time waits for no one. So keep doing what you have to do in order to get where you want to go. And as corny as that sounds, it's the truth, right? So for today's first episode, I am going to open up about a topic that is a bit vulnerable. I always am getting vulnerable on the podcast here, and it's something that I suck at. I am terrible at being a vulnerable person. I always have my guard up, and this helps, I don't know, work out that muscle being on the podcast and opening up. So I am on here, and I'm ready to talk to you all about a big confession. And I actually think I opened up about this on one of my friends' podcasts a few years ago, where I talked about how I live a double life. Yes, a double life. And before you judge me or jump to some crazy ass conclusion, let me talk to you about the double life that I mean, because it does not involve my relationship. It actually involves my life professionally. To give it some context here, I have been in the dental industry for, I think, like 12 to 13 years. And about 10 years ago, when I started cruising along in my profession, I started to want to get into a side hustle. And my side hustle of choice was real estate. That is the first thing that I started to get into, my first investment with my money. I mean, granted, I did invest in the stock market and some things like that, but it wasn't anything to like brag about here. But what really set the stage on my double life, I guess saying this out loud sounds a bit dramatic, but I always felt strongly that if my employer knew that I was pursuing real estate on the side as an investment and having it be a lucrative investment, then the employer may think that I am not as committed to them and more committed to myself, and that could potentially risk my position at where I was at, right? And I'll get into why I felt like I had to be married to my employer in order to grow my real estate portfolio later on in the episode, which, by the way, I feel like is totally untrue. And I feel like relies a lot on your ability with your time management, right? And so just to be more clear here, I like investing in rental properties. So being a landlord, renting out the places, having the tenants pay for my mortgage and having extra money there that I actually use as a tool to then go out and to continue to buy more real estate. Sounds so brick and mortar, but there are other methods you can use to then secure more finances or loans to then go and purchase more real estate, such as the Burr method, which is something that me and my husband use often. And I'm not going to get into this. Maybe I'll record a podcast in the future, if I haven't already, about my real estate story. For now, I want to talk about side hustles. They are becoming increasingly popular, and maybe that's because we are seeing the cost of living increase. And very interesting facts that I want to share with you. that there are over 16.12 million employed people in the United States. And out of those 16.12 million, about 8.6 million are said to have a side hustle. So that stat indicates that anywhere from 39 to 50% of employed Americans have a side hustle. And this comes directly from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, which is really interesting. So time may be changing, and maybe my antiquated perspective about not feeling that it is appropriate to share your side hustle in the workplace is becoming, what I just said, antiquated. I guess my insecurity was never about sharing about my side hustle. It was just that if my employer knew that I had a side hustle, then that would make me look like I was less committed to them. I just felt like that was always frowned upon. This is where I talk about how I've always felt like I've lived this double life. And real estate has given me so much experience as far as for equipping me with financial literacy. And the main reason why I've gotten into it is because of financial freedom. Once you get a little taste of that, it is something that you become addicted to. And you guys know that I love to break down the definition. So let's talk about what financial freedom is. Financial freedom, I think that's something that we all are after, right? But it is often referred to as financial independence, which is the state in which an individual or household has the ability to make choices and live the lifestyle that they desire without being overly constrained by financial constraints. So achieving financial freedom typically involves having multiple streams of income. And these streams of income help towards covering your costs of living expenses. They support your lifestyle desires. And if you're listening right now and you're wondering how many different streams are there for generating income, there are countless ways. One advantage that I found by staying in corporate America is, of course, A, I'm in a completely different industry. So it equips me with just different skills and things that I can use and help me grow personally as well as professionally. But two, it's so much easier to go out and get a mortgage if you have a consistent employer, right? Employment history, aka length of employment. Your length of employment matters because that's what the banks look for. They don't want to loan money to somebody who jumps around. And it does become increasingly harder to get a mortgage if you aren't employed. However, you definitely can. And I have found that it's becoming increasingly easier the more I get embedded into real estate. And on this note, I think it's important to shift your mindset on how you think about money. And a lot of us think of money as a means for living, surviving. And that, in a sense, is almost like the scarcity mindset. And I've never had a mindset where I felt like I didn't have money. And I've never saw money as something that I was so desperate to have. I've always just trusted in my own ability to generate money, generate wealth. I've always known that if I put X effort into something, work is what I'm referring to, then I will be getting money back in return. And so that's just being in the workforce in America. That is something that I just always knew that, okay, I will always have money because I know I'm never going to be in a spot where I'm not going to work. Maybe I'm not going to have the amount of money that I desire, but I also have always been taught to not live beyond my means. So basically what you put into something is what you will get out of it. If you work hard, then you will have hard-earned dollars. And that's something that was part of my upbringing. Honestly, it's a blue-collar concept that taught me about work ethic. It definitely helped equip me in having better financial literacy as I've gotten older. And if you're wondering what financial literacy is, it refers to the ability to use various financial skills, knowledge, and concepts to make informed and effective decisions about personal finances. So I talked about how there's different means of me securing funds for real estate, but I started off entry level, which was either securing the two main ones, a conventional loan or the FHA loan. However, it wasn't until the more I leaned into wanting more financial freedom, I started to want to educate myself on becoming more financially literate. And I started to learn about different strategies that I could personally employ in order to get the things that I desire. You want to propel further faster. And I want to make this very clear that I'm not behind the mic tonight to talk and boast about how I am just so financially literate that you should sign up for my course at the end of this podcast. Totally just kidding. But I am telling you that I personally strive to constantly educate myself on different avenues of financial literacy so I can better understand and use better judgment when going to make my money work for me. Because that's what I strongly feel, that I don't want to work for my dollars. I want my dollars to work for me. So what can I employ in my life with my finances to set me up in that way? This topic is so powerful towards your self-empowerment. There's so much depth and understanding and awareness to be explored that you should definitely lean into it. Because when you do so, you can actually increase your overall financial well-being. This is a broad topic, and I'm constantly learning about it and striving to learn. And I'll just talk to you about the different avenues that you can go into understanding or to better educating yourself on. So budgeting is basic 101. If you bring in X, then you're spending X dollars in order to ensure that you are not living beyond your means. Because if you are spending more than you're earning, then you are behind and you will never get ahead of where you wish to be. So society and the world that we live in today puts so much pressure on us, especially with social media, about wanting to keep up with the Joneses and keep up with everyone's highlight reels, have the best designer clothes or whatever it may be. And you just have to remain blind to that. And it's so hard to do, but the name of the game is, who cares if you go out and you buy something that's designer? That is short-term gratification. And you probably will feel unsatisfied with the purchase shortly after you make it. Maybe I'm bringing this up because I just saw Elena Cardone. She talked about saving your money and stop feeling pressured to buy designer items, especially if you don't have the means to afford it. Anyways, I think that's what it said. I don't know. I'm just pulling it up right now. Elena Cardone. So it says, 4 women go out and spend a ton of money on getting anything designer. Just be real with who you are and where you are at in life. You don't need to impress anyone. You need to self-enhance. Spend the money on yourself. Start learning finances, follow-ups, appreciation. Start learning how to navigate relationships, red flags in relationships. Understand about leadership, being an entrepreneur. Invest in how to build your business. Invest in how to build a brand. People don't care what you look like. Just don't dress like a slob. And it's so funny. There's so much power in that. I personally like to invest my money on things that I am actually going to get a return of investment on. So I like to invest in self-improvement, exercise. I would say exercise is probably the number one thing that I splurge my money on. I just bought a treadmill, and that's something that I actually am using. I get to use every day, and I appreciate it every day that I use it. It's not something that I bought where it's going to collect dust, because I value fitness, I value health, and I knew that that's something that would be of value to me if I were to purchase where it would continue to hold its value over time. So let's move on to the next one with financial literacy, saving and investing. So if you're budgeting, then you're able to save money or invest money, and understanding that that knowledge is power and you can make informed decisions about where to invest your money based on your financial goals and your risk tolerance. Then you have debt management. So for many U.S. Americans, and I'm actually going to Google this because I think it would be an interesting fact. So give me just a second here. All right. So the total student loan debt in America has reached a whopping $1.68 trillion. And that's just crazy to me, because a Pew study found that about half of young college graduates with student loans, so this is 52% of college graduates, live in families earning at least $75,000, compared to the 18% of those who don't have a bachelor's degree. So I said live in families earning at least $75,000. So that typically means them and their partner, which is insane. So for me, my story is I started off in a 4-year university. I went to Flagler College for communications, which is a very broad major. And I realized that this is really broad, and what I am seeking after, I'm probably not going to find it by having such a broad major. So I ended up completely shifting gears and going into dental hygiene. And I shifted from Flagler College to then going to a local community college. and entering essentially a trade school to learn the trade of dental hygiene. And it's so interesting because I have found my way back into communications through podcasting, but I ended up switching and getting out of college and getting into a trade school, going to dental hygiene, and then just educating myself and submerging myself with experience to get to the point where I am today. And that's something that I'm so proud of. There's nothing more valuable than real life experience. I have found that how I've gotten ahead is through education and awareness and experience. Those have been the three needle movers in my life that have gotten me where I am today. When I have children, I am going to get them into real estate at an early age and start educating them on that avenue, because they can start building their wealth towards financial freedom early on. I realized as I've gotten older that knowing real estate is a key life skill. It's a good skill to be equipped with before you head out into quote unquote the real world. Understanding debt management. A lot of people think that debt is negative, but actually debt is how I've used strategically to get ahead in real estate. And I just keep referring to that because that's my point of reference. Then let's talk about understanding financial products. So financial products such as bank accounts, do you currently have your money in a bank that you just happen to enroll in or create the account because that was the bank near your house, or that was what was presented to you during your college orientation? I don't know. When you have your money in a bank account, it's important to understand the terms of the bank account in which you are holding your money in. Many banks offer different incentives, and if you're housing your money in the bank, then you should make sure that it is in alignment with your financial goals. Another area for financial literacy that is good to be aware of is retirement planning, preparing for your future, and understanding retirement accounts, employee-sponsored plans, and other investment strategies for long-term financial security. Then we can talk about risk management and insurance, and how understanding different types of insurance and how they can protect you against your financial risks. And that could be health insurance, life insurance, property insurance, understanding taxes, and having an understanding of the basics of our tax system. It's important to know how to file your taxes, take advantage of tax deductions, credits, and plan for your finances with tax implications in mind. Then we could talk about having an awareness or being literate in economic awareness and just having a general understanding of economic concepts such as inflation, which we've been hearing a lot about lately. Understanding interest rates, like is it a good time to buy a car right now? Is it a good time to buy a house right now? And how economic conditions can impact personal finances. Then consumer awareness and understanding that you have a right to understand product pricing in order to make informed consumer decisions. So financial literacy is, in my opinion, one of the most critical life skills. And having an understanding in this empowers you to take control of your financial well-being so you can make informed decisions that are in alignment with your financial goals. I feel like far too often we are not set up for success, and there should be more of an education around this. And if you are listening right now and you want to get into a basic level one, 101 type of book that is easy to digest, because I'll admit it can be overwhelming to get into all these different avenues of trying to get an awareness and grasping it. And if you aren't bored, if you're not feeling passionate about the topic, then you don't typically apply yourself. So I'm going to recommend you a book right now, and it is called, hang on, let me find it. I'm almost done with it, but it's called Rich AF by Vivian Tu. And she is blowing up all on social media, but she gives you a very broad but great education on these different pillars that will help you increase your financial well-being, and you'll feel a lot more healthier and empowered to take more control in this area of your life. And you don't want to sleep on yourself in this area, so you can live your best life and promote long-term financial security. And I guess in a long roundabout way, this is very far from where we first started about my double life, but I wanted to take you on the progression about what got me into my side hustle. The main lesson that I've learned personally is the more you step into a position of authority, we all start somewhere, right? And you usually don't have the finances that you wish so badly to have when you're first starting off. But if you put yourself in the driver's seat, it holds you accountable And it makes you accountable to increase your education, your awareness, your understanding of these concepts with finances in order to improve yourself and to keep yourself moving forward. If you've listened this far, I want to thank you so much. Get ready. It's going to be a great season. I will be launching all of my podcast episodes on Sunday. So with that being said, I am off to bed. That rhymes. It's so corny. But I hope that you all have a great week, and I will talk with you all next Sunday. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. If you're enjoying the podcast like I am and love meeting different powerhouse women of all different industries, leave a review. Share each episode with your friends. It only helps put us on the map. We know that as women, we propel further faster when we collaborate. And you have this voice inside of you that has been telling you that you're meant for so much more. You know it. I know it. Your time is now. What? Like it's hard?